Welcome to The James Rice Show, a humorous, entertaining, and sometimes thought-provoking look at teaching and studying abroad. Join the conversation as James guides you through his experiences and provides insights into how to improve your English and how to improve your teaching of English. And now, here's the man you've been waiting for, James Rice.
Coming up on this week's episode, overcoming shyness. Plus, how can you ask native speakers deep questions when you're learning English? And what Christmas song do I really hate? All coming up on The James Rice Show. Welcome, my students and my teacher friends, to The James Rice Show for this week. It is wonderful to have you here, and I am very excited about this week's episode because it is near and dear to my heart, overcoming shyness. Yeah, now, for those of you that don't know me out there, I'm James Rice, and I am the creator of the Study It ESL textbook series that is being used in over 40 countries and NGOs around the world. And of course, this broadcast is being listened to in over 60 countries. Yeah, 60 countries. And so I've talked to a lot of you this week on Facebook. So it's nice to hear from many of you out there. I love the comments. Keep them coming in. I love the feedback as well. Keep those coming in. Now, today we have an interesting guest, Mr. Jan Keck, who has created a set of cards called Ask Deep Questions. And he was an ESL student who got tired of small talk with native speakers. And you guys can imagine that, teachers and students. You know, you can imagine you want to say more, but you can't. And he wanted to ask native speakers deeper questions, and he wanted to make friends with them in a deeper way. And I feel that sometimes from many of you. And oftentimes, many native speakers will avoid international students. I know it's not fun to say, but they avoid them because they think, oh, you know, they can't speak English, and I'm so busy, and I don't want to take the time to speak to them. Or worse, they think that international students maybe have nothing to say. And it can really make international students feel shy or feel badly about trying to speak English to native speakers. And so we're going to talk to Jan today. And he has a website called www.jankeck.com. I think it's in our description for this podcast. And he wrote on his website that after living in Toronto for 8 years, surrounded by millions of people, I still felt lonely and isolated. It wasn't until I discovered that sharing stories and being vulnerable are the secrets for meaningful connections. And that's why I created these Ask Deep Question cards. And these cards are amazing. They really are. And we're going to also have a language coach on the show with Jan to discuss how he used those deep question cards with his students. So if you're teachers out there, you want to listen in to that. Now, some stats that Jan quotes on his website is that loneliness rates have more than doubled since the 1980s. And 1 in 4 Americans have 0 friends, no friends to confide in. And studies are showing that poor social connections is as harmful as smoking or obesity. And teachers, if you're listening out there, we have to be aware of this fact. We have to get those ESL students to communicate in English in a deeper, more vulnerable way, to open up and learn how to do that. And Jan has some great ideas. And so, you know, these cards are not just for ESL students, but they could be used for anyone. In fact, I've seen some very shy teachers as well I mean, I remember when I was hiring teachers for my school, and I had a young teacher coming out of teacher college, and man, he had a great interview. First off, very smart, very bright, and he did one of our grammar tests, and he was like perfect on the grammar, and he could talk grammar all day long with me. I mean, he was like a genius with the grammar, and I thought, wow, that is fantastic. So I put him in the class to do a demo lesson to see how he could teach, and he just started to sweat like crazy. He was sweating everywhere. I mean, the students were looking at me like, James, is he okay? And I spoke to him afterwards, and he said, you know, he panics and gets really shy and nervous and scared in front of the class. And, you know, so I said, he's got to get some experience in front of the class, because he certainly has the knowledge out there. So even teachers are really shy and self-conscious. They're worried about themselves. So anyone can be shy. And I am shy. I was shy anyways when I was younger. But I think students who travel overseas, or teachers who teach abroad and who leave their country and go abroad to teach, I think you guys are very, very courageous. You guys have a lot of courage. You are brave. But I know some of you are still shy out there. So Jan's going to help with that, but I want to give you some of my advice too to international students. First off, number one, most important students, you got to get involved in your school activities. Join your school's activities. That's why many schools run these activities. It helps you to meet other people. Yes, that's what people say. And it helps to practice your English. Yes, but it also gives you a shared experience, a shared memory. At my school, I always wanted to have one big event every month that the entire school could share. And this creates memories. And then those memories build to create friendship. And then hopefully your shyness ends. But the reason why you are comfortable with your friends back in your own country is you have many shared memories. You have many shared stories. And that makes you feel good when you're with them, because you can always, you know, go back in time and remember those great events that happened. When you go abroad, you need to recreate those events in your life. Actually, not recreate, but make new ones. You need to make new events in your life. And I found that as I traveled abroad and I made many great memories, when I came back to Canada, where I'm living here in Toronto, Canada, I forgot to mention that. Our producer, Stephanie, is there. Hi, Stephanie. When I came back to Canada, all those memories that I had no meaning for my friends. They didn't know me anymore because I had changed. I had made new memories, and I had made new friends, and I had new shared experiences that they weren't a part of. And the old memories that I had were just, you know, they kind of faded away. So get involved, not just to speak English, not just to make friends. And I know teachers say that to the students, but to create memories that will build new friendships. Number two piece of advice for me about overcoming shyness is believe in yourself, guys. All right, students, you have traveled thousands of miles from your home. You are brave. You can do it. And if you're living in a foreign country and survived your first week, which is always so tough, then you are ready to take on the world. So believe in you. All right, guys, believe in you. And number three, stop saying, I'm shy. I'm shy. Stop it. Stop that. And do you know why? People won't talk to you if you say, I'm shy. Not because people are unkind, but people don't want to cause you any anxiety or stress. So people won't ask you out because you might feel bad. So stop saying, I'm shy. Understand that we are all shy, okay? and we all have to overcome it. So our discussion with Jan is going to come up in a moment. And Mrs. Stephanie, our producer here in Toronto, Canada, that's where the show is broadcasting from. And we broadcast every Monday. We put out a new episode. And then we have a lot of different things throughout the week, shorter podcasts that you can listen to. And who are our top five listeners for this week, Stephanie? Who do we have? Yeah, all right. So Stephanie's bringing this up on my computer screen. Number one is the United States. Thank you, American friends. Number two, Canada. Jumping up to number two, knocking down the Brazilians. Brazilians down to number three. Oh, Brazilians, what happened? Number four, Vietnam is back in our top five. And number five, what? It's not New Zealand who was really hot out there. Iraq is in our top five. What? Wow, I'm a little bit speechless here. It's not good when you're hosting a podcast to be speechless. Stephanie, what? I would love to hear from teachers or students who are living in Iraq and listening to the James Rice Show. I'm going to post this up. I know you guys are like, what, Iraq? James, you're lying. I'm going to post this up on my Facebook page, the James Rice Show on Facebook, and you guys can check it out for yourself because it's Iraq in a number five. All right, everyone, we're going to take a break and we're going to come back and we're going to talk to Jan Keck and find out how to overcome shyness.
The Study It textbooks are the first ever completely digital and interactive English as a Second Language textbook series. Once downloaded, these textbooks do not require a Wi-Fi connection. Students and teachers can use them anywhere, anytime. Used in over 40 schools, universities, and NGOs worldwide. Study It is the future of English teaching. Visit www.studyitbooks.com for more information.
Okay, students, it's time for your English tip of the week.
I'm pleased to welcome Jan Keck and Luke Hobbs to the show today. Luke is a language coach from On the Spot Language here in Toronto and was a guest host back in September. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hey, so happy to be here.
Now, Jan has created a deep conversation guide, and he's also working on a podcast called Deep Connectors. And he has also created a deep question chatbot. I mean, it's really incredible. So he's originally from Germany, and his passion is to help people get connected with people, and not just on the surface, not just small talk. Now, Jan, I want to read a blurb from your website, which is www.jankeck.com, and we'll link that on our James Rice Show website, because it's really interesting, and I want to read it to the audience. Growing up in Germany, I felt invisible most of my childhood as the shy kid who really socialized a lot with others. I would rarely speak in my class or raise my hand in class. And I read that and I thought, Jan, it's really moving. It's incredibly moving. And I know you struggled with shyness most of your life or through your life. I'd like you to maybe share a bit of your story before we get into some of the deep questions and how you broke free from your shyness.
Yeah, thanks so much for giving me the opportunity to share that a little bit. So as you said, I grew up in Germany and I was and still am an only child. And I think that was one of the reasons why I, at one point in my life, subconsciously started looking for like a community to join. It's taken a lot of my a lot of courage, I think, to be not the quiet kid in class. And it took me a long time to kind of step out of that. And I think looking back, there was one moment in high school where another student came up to me and said, "Hey, there's this student, the city youth council, that are looking for new people to join, and I think you'd be great for it." And I didn't really know that person that well, but something in what he said kind of resonated. And I'm like, City Youth Council, that sounds like a cool thing. Like I could actually be representing my whole school or my whole like age group in front of the city and kind of promote issues and change things. And up until then, I don't think I've ever done public speaking, but to run for the student or city youth council, I had to almost do like a campaign. So we had to go to the other schools and stand in front of classes of strangers and tell them what we would do if we get elected. And that was one of the first few times where I had to do the public speaking aside from doing like presentations in front of class, but it was always very terrifying. I never wanted to be the center of attention. Like all eyes on me was like the most uncomfortable thing for me. But in a way, I just kept pushing that comfort zone and I kept doing it. I ended up getting elected into the City Youth Council, then became the co-chair. Then after that became one of the chairs for the provincial City Youth Council organization. And it kind of just kept going from there. Like I just was seeking out more of those roles where I actually had to be the center of attention for better or worse.
And yeah, absolutely. Like,
practice makes perfect. And there was one thing that really got me out of it, which was the courage to be in that uncomfortable spot, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you came to Canada. When did you come to Canada? 2010?
2008 for the first time. So it's about like 10 years ago.
Okay. And one of the things that I caught when I was reading through your blog was that you found it very challenging to build a rapport with strangers and kind of move beyond small talk. And this is really difficult for ESL students. They often can do a little small talk, but you know, they often fade. And if they're at a party or an event, they just kind of fade into the corner and kind of give up, you know, going beyond the small talk. And you created a guide on how to do this. Could you give us some insights about what the guide is about and what you've found to get past that small talk?
Yeah. So for me, when I came to Canada, my English was pretty good. I already had spent a year traveling in Australia. That's where I pretty much picked up the language, because in school I wasn't very good in like English class. I barely graduated that class. But when I came to Canada, I've realized that people here are super friendly, but mostly on the surface. Like it was really easy to start up a conversation with people. Once you kind of connected with someone at an event, like immediately you're talking about all kinds of things. But
usually the weather.
Usually the weather is one of the topics, especially if it's too cold, too hot, too wet, or too dry. But it's really hard to get to that next level of relationships. And I always thought, I wonder, is that because I'm German and in Germany, it's really hard to kind of have those easy conversations in the beginning. But once you get to know someone, you get to know them really well. You go deep really quickly, like your best friends, after just a couple of times hanging out. And maybe in Canada, just takes longer. And it took me about 8 years before I had this feeling of belonging for the first time in a group of people that I went, that I met at a retreat, at a weekend retreat. And it was that weekend that I realized, oh my God, those are my people. And that was exactly what was missing from when I moved to Canada. But I didn't know. I didn't know that until I had that experience. So the guide is actually based on almost deconstructing some of the things that happened that weekend and the things that I did afterwards to help me connect with people in a more meaningful way. Right. Yeah, that's kind of how it came about.
All right, let's bring Luke into the conversation, because one of the things Jan created was something called deep question cards. And Luke, you've been using these in your class. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Yeah. So firstly, hi, everyone. And thank you for bringing me on the show, James. It's great to be here. And Jan and I just started just I actually started. Jan, correct me if I'm wrong. The company is called Ask Deep Questions. Is that right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and you know, I got introduced through CSI, and we had these, and I saw some of these cards, and as soon as I saw them, I thought, this is so brilliant, because we really, you know, even among family members and friends, we don't really talk about these things. And yet at On the Spot Language, we tend to ask people on the street, you know, in public questions all the time. And we thought this would be really fun and interesting to try. So we just tried it in our class. And it's the questions that we asked, am I allowed to share it? Is it okay?
Yes, of course.
Give us a couple of examples.
So what we did was I thought I'll introduce my students to the cards and they can choose. They can choose which ones they wanted to ask and answer. So my students chose, if you could go back anywhere you've been, where would you go? So that was interesting because they were wondering, you know, do you mean like time and space or just a place, you know, go back, but into the future, like, you know, so it was very interesting to even think about the question. I guess I left it open for them. The next question was, what advice did your parents give you? And it's really great to think about these kinds of questions, like, you know, what advice did your parents give you will absolutely probably be related to culture as well. As I know, to ask these questions on the street, you know, we usually approached groups of strangers that were, you know, seeming friends. And when we asked them these questions, like, what is the next milestone in your life? They usually first respond by, you know, looking up and back and thinking, wow, what, you can see it on their face, like, wow, I didn't expect these kinds of big questions. But they're really, you know, it was followed directly by a smile, and they started answering these questions. And I could see that their friends also didn't really, they probably didn't have these kinds of conversations with their friends that were right beside them. And yet with our, English language learners that we were with, we were asking these questions, and we were kind of going around in a circle and answering them. And our students would do the same. So we felt it was really rewarding, and we could actually get a lot of accidental language learning through the process. A lot of cultural understanding. We spoke to people that weren't originally from Canada. So we got a huge mix of answers, and we all felt kind of, more connected after that.
And people were open. They were open to sharing.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what I thought might happen. Like, I wondered, you know, from what I understand, these questions came from what was called a family deck. And I think Jan had in mind that these could be questions you might pose to your family. In fact, the question, what advice did your parents give you? Maybe not. But there was another question. How would you describe your family in 5 words? Well, I actually changed that question. How would you describe our family in 5 words was the original question. So,
The ESL students asked Canadians on the street these questions.
Yeah.
And what was the reaction of the ESL students?
The ESL students, that's a really good question. So the ESL students were mostly playing catch up because, you know, these questions usually, you know, get quite deep. But we actually voice recorded it all so that for their future learning. So I told them the most important thing is that you don't have to remember everything or learn you're not going to probably understand everything they say, but as much as you can, pick out the keywords and ask questions. So, you know, how would you describe your family in 5 words? One of the answers, you know, besides warm, crazy, and all these others, I remember one word was dysfunctional. 100% our students are not going to know that, but it's a great word. It can be useful in many situations. So our student said, you know, sorry, what do you mean by dysfunctional? What do you mean by that? And we picked out like that, these kinds of meanings.
Now, Jan, one of the things students would say is, I can't understand what they're going to say to me. And how did you overcome that? Because obviously, as Luke mentioned, the vocabulary that people come back with when asked a deep question is something that's not really taught in ESL textbooks and materials. So what advice would you give, and how did you overcome that kind of fear?
Yeah, I think for me, it was a little bit different, because by the time I was able to ask or started asking these meaningful questions, these deep questions, my English was already a lot better. Like this deck of cards is only a year old. So I've been living in Canada for 9 years, in English speaking countries for 10. So by that time, my English was just like, I already knew a lot of the, I didn't have trouble understanding the different keywords.
I see. So you had more trouble kind of finding your community.
That, and having, like, there's three different levels to the Ask Deep Questions deck. And all of them are deep questions, but the first level is called Curious, which is just below the surface. But then there's two levels deeper. The next one is Brave, and the one at the bottom is Vulnerable. And I usually explain that if you've never been swimming, you want to use like a Curious card to kind of go in the kiddie pool and get used to the water. And then a Brave card would be the equivalent of maybe going to a lake and taking some like practice strokes there. And then the Vulnerable cards is like going to the ocean, going free diving without oxygen tank. So the Vulnerable questions might be things you might have not ever shared with anyone or asked anyone. And I felt really uncomfortable asking those questions to my friends. Yet when you just pick a card and read out the question, it's much less pressure.
Now you have the same idea with the deep question chatbot as well, right?
Yeah, that is basically based on the cards. So it's just like a interactive digital version of the card deck.
Yeah, I tried it out. It's really cool. It asked me some deep questions. Had to think about it.
actually, the funny thing is that a bunch of times people decide to answer to the chatbot, and then I get people's answers kind of come in, which is sometimes quite funny.
Yeah, I'm sure. Now, one of the things that you talked about, Jan, and maybe Jan and Luke, you can give some advice to students out there listening. How do they break into or get invited into a community of native speakers?
Luke, do you have something?
Yeah, I mean, I know we've been, I know that Anish has been on the show and before, and then we came on in September. So some of the listeners may already know what we do, but basically we think of, you know, newcomers as people in need of a lot of support, and they need to be guided into how to connect with people. And the best way to connect with people is to have a shared passion. You can't ask for something better than that. So we usually go to areas of the city where we can find those kinds of people. We design questions, you know, not necessarily all deep questions, but we make custom surveys for our students based on their interests, passions, goals, and things that they want to accomplish while they're here. So if you're interested in tourism, then you can start asking people, or like traveling, you can start asking people about where they've been and where they'd recommend and what those places, what were the highlights of their trip. Or if they wanted to connect with, for example, the LGBTQ community, then we give them tasks to research events and to make goals to how many events they want to go to, and reach out to the community directly and ask questions. It's actually by using English that they're able to meet people and feel confident, like they have the tools to start the conversation and to ask follow-up questions and to show their interest. And that's usually how it goes for them. And they're able to, you know, do both of those things that I've mentioned and many more things. Yeah.
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 And Jan, how did you break into some communities here in Canada?
Yeah. Let me just add on to what Luke said, because, the students have this one sentence, this one opening line that I find is the best way to start any conversation if you are meeting someone, which is basically starting with a little bit of vulnerability, where they say, "Excuse me, I'm an ESL student and I'm practicing English, can I ask you a question? So I've used the same kind of methodology when I went to, let's say, a networking event. And I would say, hey, I feel really out of place here because everybody here works at a company and I don't. Can we have a conversation? Or like starting with actually acknowledging that you feel uncomfortable or that you are learning something is the best way to have people open up.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah, all absolutely. Of
them do the same thing. We almost call it the survey introduction. It's formally written down for them, and it usually goes something like, I'm an international student studying English in Toronto, and one of my goals while I'm here is to connect with people in the LGBT community. You know, do you mind if I ask you some questions, you know, and things like it goes on from there. But it's amazing how similar that is.
Yeah, and I've done it when I first moved to Toronto as well, where I just offered to volunteer for events, for like organizations or clubs that I wanted to meet people at. So one of the first organizations that I went to was the Documentary Film Organization of Canada. Wow. And I just started volunteering because one of the first people that I met at the first event was the organizer, because I'm German. I arrive mostly on time. So I was the only one there. Everybody else arrived, of course, a little bit late. So I talked to the organizer. We started to connect. And then I basically offered, hey, do you ever need volunteers for events? And the best thing was have sitting at the entrance table and having to check people in. Because suddenly I'm learning names of all the people that are there. Everybody gets to meet me. So when I talk to them afterwards, with some drinks in my hands or in our hands, it was a lot easier to already go into a more interesting conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah. And when I lived in Japan, I actually found an ice hockey team. And that's how I got into the community. Because, of course, being Canadian, we all play hockey, right? Right, Luke? And at some point in our lives. So I was able to actually join an ice hockey team, and that got me into a community. And not only that hockey community, but then people wanted to come and watch me play. And we created a little party after the hockey games and things like that. And my community began to grow. So even though it was in Japan, students listening out there, there was one little hockey team. And sometimes it would take me 90 minutes to get there to the games or something like that. But it was something that I could connect with easily. And as Jan said, it's documentary films. So whatever hobby or passion you have, you can get out there and meet people through that hobby. And I know a lot of students are enjoy cooking. So there's a lot of cooking events out there. Of course, film, art, all sorts of events that they can participate in. One of the other things, Jan, that I noticed in your on your website, rather, was when people go to a conference, you have some tips for them. And I think they're kind of good tips just in general. And I wanted to share a couple with the listeners. One tip that you said was skip the small talk. Skip the small talk. And what do you mean by that?
I think there's, especially in Canada, people like to talk about the weather. People like to talk about things that are comfortable. Most of the time, especially at a business type networking event, people always ask, so what do you do? And I feel like that question actually puts you in a box that you sometimes have a really hard time climbing out of. So I have been in that situation myself from the other side, where I would meet somebody, I would ask them, say, hey, so what do you do? They tell me they're a lawyer, and immediately I'm not interested in talking to them anymore. Although they might be doing some really cool things in their free time. Maybe they're a new parent as I am, and there's so many things that we could be talking about. But because that was how we started, we might not ever get to those interesting stories that really connect us. So there's some different questions that I like to ask people at networking events, or that are just a little bit different. They're kind of the curious level questions, And one of them that I love is, what's something exciting that you're working on these days? Because that gives people the option to either talk about their work. If they love what they do, they will most of the time, if they're entrepreneurs, they love talking about new things that they're creating with their business. But for the studies that have shown that 80% of people don't like their job, they will not talk about their work. They might talk about a little gardening project or a vacation that they are planning with their family. And immediately you have people talking about something positive, and it's much easier to connect on something that you both enjoy doing rather than complaining about something that you don't.
Yeah, absolutely. And another one that I saw in there, Jan, that I want to share, because I think it's really important, is give the gift of presence. Give the gift of presence. Not a present, like a Christmas present, but presence. Be there. Can you explain that one?
Yeah. It seems that we're more connected than ever because we all have this kind of supercomputer in our pockets all the time, that we have all these social media apps and we're constantly texting and messaging people. But at the same time, we kind of forget that when we have face-to-face meetings, when we meet somebody for a coffee or for dinner, we're supposed to actually be present in that moment rather than being on our phones and distracted. And it's very easy to, like, anytime your phone vibrates and it's in your pocket or you hear the notification bell go off, to just immediately go to your phone. And if you've ever been in the situation where you're talking to someone and they get a message and suddenly the phone is more important than you, you know exactly how it feels being on the other side. So what I mean with giving the gift of presence is really when you want to spend quality time with people, just either turning your phone off completely or leaving it in your bag will help you just make the other person feel so special, and you'll have a much easier time connecting with them.
Yeah, that's great advice. That's great advice. All right, Luke, any final thoughts on how to move from that small talk to deep conversation?
Well, I have to say the advice that Jan gave is incredible because we touched on the idea of giving, you know, being vulnerable yourself will invite vulnerabilities. And that's probably the biggest takeaway that we've been doing that with our students, and it's worked, and it's can work in all situations. And being present, like Jan said, is a really good one. I can't agree more. And I think that ultimately that will be a gift to yourself as well, because even if that person, you know, everyone you talk to, they might not have that same, you know, awareness. They may not think, okay, I also don't want to check my phone. They may also feel like they want to check their phone, but I think that if you give your presence to someone, they will feel that much more connected to you, and they'll also pick up on that, and they may realize subconsciously that they also for some reason don't want to pick up their phone, that there's something magical happening in this conversation. So I think it'll be a gift for yourself to also take a break from your phone, and it will also be a gift to the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can think of a friend of mine that never uses the phone in front of me and is very, very deep into what I'm saying. And I feel almost when I'm meeting this person, I got to be ready, you know, because they're actually paying attention to what I'm saying.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so you can sort of spread the gift of presence around. It's fantastic. Yeah,
I feel like that's kind of the theme of Ask Deep Questions at its heart is you know, it's kind of containing every aspect of this notion of a person who's coming to a new country who feels out of place for a multitude of reasons. I mean, that's something we can all relate with. I think when we go to those events, we could almost say that when people say, "So, what do you do?" It's actually a safeguarded question for their own self, and it's great. The more people that can wake others up, I think that, you know, probably from Jan's experience, a lot of people feel like, "Wow, that's a great question," and they're refreshed by having genuine conversations. And going forward in the future, I can only imagine that to be
something that's going to be needed more and respected more and appreciated more as we do that. And I think, you know, and I'm in full, I love that we are doing this. Yeah.
All right. Jan, any final advice for the students out there or teachers?
So I love what you just said there, Luke, because I believe that we all have this fundamental need to be seen and to be heard. And it doesn't happen these days anymore that somebody asks you a question and then is actually interested in the answer. Like, the reason why everybody asks, so what do you do, is because they don't have a better question, I believe. That they actually don't want to know what you do. They don't want to talk about that either. It's just like, this is almost kind of a autopilot question that comes out. And if I had to give one last tip on how to find your people in a new place, it starts with going to events and looking at what other communities are out there. But I think the way you can really speed the whole process up is by becoming a hub or like event organizer yourself. So if you can create something for other people and focus on connecting the people that you might have connected with already and creating an experience for them, let's say, I don't know, you go for a photo walk. I'm just like thinking what actually happened when I came here, like people going for photo walks or going for hikes, or one thing that I started doing is hosting these dinner parties, where I invite a group of 5-6 people, and then we'll have my Ask Deep question cards there to facilitate the meaningful conversations. But the more you can be vulnerable with people, the faster you'll connect. On the box, it actually, I put a quote, relationships travel at the speed of vulnerability. And I totally believe that that will be the fastest way to connect with people.
Absolutely. And I think we'll end on that note. That's a great note to end on. Thank you so much, Jan, for coming on. Thanks, Luke.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
It's time for James's Idiom of the Week.
All right, let's talk about the word shy. There are many idioms out there that use this word. Of course, shy means that you have a nervous or reserved personality. Believe it or not, I was shy when I was younger. Perhaps more nervous shy than the reserved shy. Reserved shy is someone who is quiet and won't talk to people, maybe a little withdrawn and keeps to themselves. I was not, you know, that type of shy. I was more the nervous shy, more self-conscious, especially in high school. And that, you know, that was a challenge to overcome. A lot of people become shy when speaking in front of people. And that is the most common way that we use shy, is when we say they're shy speaking in front of people. And the other side of shy is the extreme feeling of shyness, which is like an anxiety or a panic attack. And some of you may feel that too. But today we are going to talk about shy idioms. All right. Idioms that use the word shy. The first one, gun shy. Gun shy. Now, this expression means that you're a little hesitant or a little nervous or not quite sure of someone or something, especially after you've done something and it was a bad experience, okay? So for me, I am really gun-shy about skiing. I have never had a good experience skiing. I actually went down the ski hill backwards. I know, it's crazy. I hit the ice and I spun around backwards. I went down the hill backwards. I hit those moguls, which are the bumps, and my skis went flying in every direction. And you know what I learned is that, you know, there's like doctors in the forest. They came rushing out of the forest. They thought I had died or broken a leg or something, but they came rushing out and asked me if I was okay, and I was fine. So, you know, did not have a good experience skiing. And I can't get off the chairlift, you know. the chairlift where that takes you up the mountain, you have to jump off that and then go down the hill. Can't do that. Can't do it. Very scary. So when someone says to me, hey, James, let's go skiing, well, I'm a little gun shy. I don't say, yes, 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 I want to go skiing because I'm gun shy. I might say, I'm not sure. When are you going? Let me check my schedule and I'll get back to you. Gun shy. Okay, next. Shy away from someone or something. To shy away from someone means to avoid them. You don't want to talk to them or meet them. You might say, hey, you've been shying away from me all day. Is everything okay? And so that means you just don't want to talk to that person or even see that person. So if someone is shying away from you, you know, you might want to send them a text. Say, hey, what's up? Everything okay? Next one. Once bitten, twice shy. Once bitten, twice shy. And this means you are hurt by someone or something, and you will become very, very careful around that person. For example, if someone asks you to go to the movies and they call you up, say, hey, James, let's go to the movies. But then that person doesn't show up. You're a little upset. You're a little angry. Where is he? Where's my friend? Well, the next week he calls and says, hey, let's go to the movies. And you say, yeah, you know what? Once bitten, twice shy, my friend. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. That's the same kind of meaning as once bitten, twice shy. And actually, Stephanie, our producer there, and she's got a song for you guys. Yeah, there's a famous song. Actually, there are two famous songs that use once bitten, twice shy. All right, let's hear the first one, Stephanie. I'm once bitten, twice shy, baby. All right. Yeah, I'm loving it. Stephanie is like, no, James. Okay, Stephanie. I know Stephanie wants to play this song. She loves this song. I can't believe I'm playing this on my podcast. You know, I absolutely hate this song, but it's an idiom, and I am going to play it for you, my class. Once bitten, twice shy, play song two, Stephanie. Once bitten, twice shy. I keep my distance, but you still catch my. Okay. That's enough, Stephanie. Enough of Wham and Last Christmas. Enough. Now, I know you guys are big, big fans of Last Christmas out there. So you'll hear that expression, once bitten, twice shy. I prefer the first one, Stephanie. Don't play that again. I'm warning you. Don't play that again. I don't know why. I just cannot stand that song at Christmas. I know. I'm sorry. I know. You guys love it out there, but not me. All right. Next one. Let's go on to the next idiom. A shy bladder. A shy bladder. Yeah. You know, have you ever gone to the bathroom and you can't pee? All right. Yeah, I know. I know this is a little personal. You know, where you want to go to the bathroom, but you can't pee. Well, it happens, right? Yeah, especially for men. You know, I get that way when I'm sometimes standing at the urinal, you know, in the men's washroom, where like, hey, I don't feel comfortable peeing here. I don't know why. You know, we call that, hey, I got a shy bladder. Yeah, we got a shy bladder sometimes, especially in the public washroom, right? So in a sentence, you say, it takes me forever to pee in a public washroom because I have a shy bladder. This is true. English is crazy sometimes. All right, our last one. A few bricks. I got to say this right because my father always says it to me. A few bricks shy of a load. A few bricks shy of a load. Or one card shy of a full deck. Yeah, these two expressions mean you are describing someone who's not that intelligent. He's a few bricks shy of a load. Well, not smart. And you can say, hey, I think James is a nice guy, but he's one card shy of a full deck. What? So, don't shy away from the James Rice Show. I may be a few bricks shy of a load, but don't be gun shy. And that is the idiom of the week.
Don't forget to follow James on Instagram at Connect with James for fun photos and updates on future episodes.
Stephanie, you are killing me here with that last Christmas. I tell you. All right, guys, well, we're coming to the end of the show. And what am I going to do with Stephanie if she keeps playing Last Christmas on me? Thank you guys, as always, for listening to our show. And that was fascinating, wasn't it? It was fascinating with Luke and Jan. And I hope you check out his website. And it's a really interesting story that he has. So thank you guys for listening this week. It was a pleasure to bring this show to you guys. And I hope you will have a fantastic week. And please remember, be crazy.
Thanks for listening to The James Rice Show. Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter and send us your questions or comments at www.thejamesriceshow.com.